Will two Democrat senators be the roadblock to communist rule in America? Plus, the latest news, big pharma, big tech, big business, and big government do not want you to hear. France reels from the latest Islamic jihadist murder on a police officer. And is the West, even Europe, finally waking up to the insanity? All of this and more on this week's edition of World News Brief. It's Friday, August 31st, 2018. I, yours truly, host Winston R. Holland, wakes up as you would normally do if you are a living human being and you had slept the previous night. You wake up. When I woke up, the thought came into my mind very strongly. It was the first thought that I had that morning. And the thought was this: Holland News. Holland News. It was very unusual. Usually, I don't think about news in Holland, much less news necessarily associated with my last name. But that is what came to me very strongly. It never happened before, and it has not happened since. So, to continue the story, I get up pretty soon after that, and I really just forgot all about it, and kind of went on with my morning. About 30, 45 minutes later, I go sit down at my computer. Well, I am subscribed to, as you can imagine, several email lists. One of the lists I'm subscribed to is someone I really like a lot, who's fantastic on foreign policy news, is Lisa Daftari, and her foreign desk, foreigndesknews.com, I think is her website. Great site. And I'm subscribed to her newsletter, so I go to my computer and I simply open up my computer, not thinking anything about what had happened when I first woken up. Well, to my surprise, I see her newsletter, and this is the main heading of the newsletter: Dutch lawmaker cancels Muhammad cartoon contest over safety concerns. Dutch lawmaker cancels Muhammad cartoon contest over safety concerns. It immediately struck me how bizarre it is that I would wake up and Holland News would be the main thing in my head, and I unwittingly sit down at my computer, and I had been subscribed to the Foreign Desk for a long time. This podcast had not started. This show would start 4 months later in January 2019, but of course, this has been something I've been involved with, you know, foreign policy and research and news and so forth for quite a while. So I've been following this stuff, and it was pretty surprising to see that. And so I go down to the actual story, and it's that Dutch lawmaker, Geert Wilder, he actually had canceled plans to hold a contest for cartoons that caricature Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, saying the danger of violence against innocent people was too great. Now, to this day, I don't quite understand what happened that morning. And of course, I went back and I looked through all of the emails, email newsletters that I had received from the Foreign Desk, and there was nothing about Holland that was in the subject line of any of those emails. So it was a very, very coincidence, and probably hasn't been since. Typically, Holland, the Netherlands, you know, they're not typically making world news headlines. Probably if they are, it's because Geert Wilders, who has been a strong proponent of preserving Western civilization in light of mass Islamic immigration into Europe, is probably because he has said something what the elites and the oligarchs and the technocrats consider to be unkosher, unorthodox to the global world system, because, of course, it's incredibly important if they are going to install global totalitarianism that free, independent, Western Christian nations do not survive or thrive. So, of course, the people that aim to protect those are they're nationalists, they're tribalists, they're racists, which is pretty interesting, because if you if you live in a majority, what's considered, quote, white, Western free country, and you want to preserve those values, not talking about skin color, I'm talking about the values of those countries, values such as, oh, I don't know, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of the press, you know, those types of things that certain people so easily chuck to the wolves. But if you want to actually preserve those things, then you are, like I said, you're a racist, you're a bigot, you're a xenophobe and all of this. However, you're a tribalist. But if you're a native, let's say you're a Native American and you want to preserve that culture, well, that's perfectly within your rights to do so. If you are from an Islamic country and you want to preserve your Islamic values, then that's perfectly within your right to do so. And so, of course, what we see that what this is, and they're using Islamic immigration, just like they're trying to use immigration from South America at the U.S. southern border in order to essentially cripple and bring to their knees free Western countries. And again, I don't totally know what to do with that experience. It was something that I didn't understand it then. I do believe on some level it was, I think God on some level was trying to wake me up and draw my attention to perhaps the real threat, the reality of what is going on. And I want to make a disclaimer, not because I believe in political correctness. I do not, but I do believe in being correct. And I get it that not all Muslims are terrorists and agree with this, and some are very much against it. But given what is happening in the world right now, and given what is happening in Western nations, given that we're even seeing jihadist threats coming up through our southern border, even now I've been seeing news on that as well, the West, on some level, is going to have to wake up and realize that we need to protect these basic values and this just unfettered open borders, immigration from countries that do not share our values, from people that do not share our values, is a recipe for disaster. You know, they say that immigration is always a good thing. And what I like to ask in return is, okay, how did that work out for the Native Americans? According to the left, the worst thing that ever happened to Native Americans was immigration, was Europeans coming over and colonizing and taking over. So those who say that immigration is always this wonderful thing, they can't answer, yeah, what about the Europeans, who they think is, again, the worst thing that ever happened to them? And I bring this up, and I was reminded of that personal experience that happened to me a few years ago. And I'd often thought about bringing that experience up on this show, and I had either forgot about it or I just simply didn't find it relevant. But I'm finding it more and more relevant. There has been a string of attacks in France by Muslim jihadists against ordinary French citizens that is really, it's causing a lot to happen. It's even causing Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, to move to the right. But we'll get into that in a second. But this is from France24.com. France pays tribute to police employee fatally stabbed in Rambouillet near Paris. France paid homage on Monday to a police employee who was stabbed to death last week at a police station in Rambouillet, if I'm saying that right, southwest of Paris. Anti-terror prosecutors said the perpetrator, a Tunisian national, had been radicalized, while his family said that he had recently exhibited, quote, behavioral troubles. A Tunisian man who stabbed to death a police employee outside Paris watched jihadist propaganda videos just before the attack, France's anti-terror prosecutor said Sunday, adding that a fifth person was detained for questioning. So it sounded like he was getting himself ginned up. It's highly unlikely he just watched those videos and then went out. This was something that happened over a period of time. But to encourage himself and to help himself become more brave to go and carry the attack, that's apparently what this guy ended up doing. Based on an analysis of the killer's cell phone as well as the social media postings, Quote, his radicalization appears little in doubt, Jean-Francois Ricard said at a press conference. The 36-year-old attacker, identified as Jamel Gourchin, stabbed a woman who worked at the police station in Rambouillet, a suburb southwest of Paris, on Friday as she was returning from a break. So this attack was one of several attacks that have been happening in France recently. It's kind of bizarre. It almost seems like it's correlating with all of the mass shootings here in the U.S. It's like Biden, the great protector of the Republic, gets together and it's like, or gets elected, and it's one day after another, after another, after another, we have these mass shootings. And it's extremely sad and extremely heartbreaking. And it's also extremely bizarre. I don't believe that there is a grand conspiracy necessarily that is causing all of those shootings to happen, but it does appear that something is going on. And I personally do not know what, but it's disturbing. So I think it's important to talk about the wider trend of what is going on even in Europe, because it does appear that the West is waking up. And of course, Western civilization was birthed in Europe with the Greeks, with the Romans, and the philosophy and the ideas that came from this civilization, where we even get the idea of constitutional governance. And the idea of a separation of powers did not originate in America. It, of course, originated in Europe. And even further back to that, you could argue that those principles even came from the scriptures, even back to Torah and the Law of Moses. So is the West waking up? Well, I would point you to a few things. In the first place I would point you to is France itself. That if you can just look this up yourself, but even left-wing sources are admitting that Marine Le Pen, the nationalist, populist, conservative candidate who lost to Macron a few years ago for prime minister, they are admitting, there's a new poll that came out that says that she is going to make it very difficult for Macron to win re-election. And part of that reason is that because of what is going on, Macron has had to move to the right. But that doesn't mean Macron has necessarily gained right-wing support. Rather, he's lost support from the lunatic left that just can't fathom the idea of limiting immigration from these countries that do not share Western values, and their people continue to butcher the French people. I mean, imagine that. Imagine that, an ideology that actually, like, not importing people from countries that have an ideology that is completely antithetical to your own. Imagine that. Like, you want to preserve a free society, but yet you're going to import millions of people that are not taught to believe that. Now, don't get me wrong. God is working amongst all of this. And I don't want to, and I don't know what God's ultimate grand plan is. But it does appear that the West, at least on some level, is waking up, or they're forced. They are forced to wake up to this, even though they don't want to, because the people of we're just talking about France right here, right now, but the people of France have had enough. And you know that when Marine Le Pen is surging in the polls, and she could actually beat French President Emmanuel Macron. It's stunning. It's stunning to think about. So that's what's going on in France. We will be watching that. But that is just part of a much wider trend that we're seeing in the European continent. And I'm not sure if you guys saw this, but this is fascinating to me. This is from CGTN.com. Viktor Orban, Mateusz Morawiecki, And Matteo Salvini discussed new EU right-wing group. Did you know that the president of Italy, Hungary, Poland are all conservatives that are attempting to actually preserve European civilization, Christendom, so to speak? Check this out. The prime ministers of Hungary and Poland, along with the Italian populist Matteo Salvini, have set out the groundwork for a new alliance to the right of the main conservative grouping in the European Parliament. So the EU, you may or may not be aware of this, but the EU has its own parliament. And just like in any parliament, you are going to have parties, you're going to have voting blocks as a result of those parties. And so Italy, Hungary, and Poland are working together to create a right-wing national populist party in the European Union in order to counter the insane leftist policies that the EU loves to live in. On the back of his party's exit from the center-right European People's Party, nationalist Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban hosted Polish PM Morawiecki and Salvini in Budapest, Hungary, to look at ways they can work together. Quote, "It is the first step of a long road together," said Orban afterwards. Quote, "We have agreed to continue the work. We will meet in May, either in Rome or in Warsaw. The date will depend on the pandemic." At a side in the joint press conference, Salvini, leader of the far-right league in Italy, spoke of a, quote, "path which begins today and which will continue in several stages in different European capitals," expanding the group. A path which begins today and which will continue in several stages in different European capitals, expanding the group. We'll get to that in a second because I mentioned France, but there's another country in Europe that you'll want to pay attention to. And trust me, we will hear. We will hear as well. Quote, "We present ourselves as the historic and founding core of this alliance, promising hope after the darkest period since World War II, Salvini said. He advocated, get this, this is the kind of stuff you're not allowed to say. Are you ready? And I hope you get here on World News Brief the stuff that's true and good that perhaps you won't hear or they're not allowed to say on other programs. He advocated, quote, "European integration." Imagine that. Immigrants actually integrating into European society as opposed to forcing us to integrate into their extremely dark and murderous and evil ideology, which respects national sovereignty. National sovereignty? You're not allowed to say that. National sovereignty, that's so 20th century. That's so passé. Borders, we don't believe in borders. How dare you keep people out? How dare you have borders, even though we have borders around our multi-million dollar homes, and even though we have a border around the D.C. Capitol to keep the untamed masses out, and gooey, icky masses out and away from us. Oh, but we don't believe in borders. I've always said, and I'll say again, put Washington, D.C. on the southern border, and you'll see how quick that wall goes up. Oh, and even Biden, the report came out that Biden's going to be plugging holes in Trump's wall. We know they believe in the borders that they like, and they don't believe in the borders that they believe will help them increase their power more and more and more, despite the human trafficking, the death, the rape, the murder, and the disease, and everything that comes as a result of unfettered immigration. And the greatest victims of that are the immigrants themselves. But back to Europe. He advocated European integration, which respects national sovereignty, the family. The family. The family is whatever you think the family is, isn't it? Oh, get ready for this word. Are y'all ready for this? He said this. Uh-oh. Okay. I don't know. I'm probably going to get kicked off of several podcasting platforms for mentioning this in a political context. Christianity. What? No, we're secular. We're completely secular and unreligious, non-religious. And the defense of, quote, traditional values. Guy, this is the president of Poland saying this stuff. This is big. This represents a shift in Europe. And perhaps that's why Dr. Steve Turley wrote a book called The Return of Christendom, which documents all that and his belief that Christendom, we're seeing the fall of secular governance, and we're seeing the rise of a national populist Christian governance. It's very interesting, very interesting. I'm not sure if he's correct about that, but some of these trends would certainly give him a much, much stronger argument. So that I'm not going to beat that dead horse too much, but that alliance right there is huge for Europe. The fact that Italy went from a socialist president to a conservative national populist president, and once Marine Le Pen wins, let's say that she does, now you are for sure going to have France joining that alliance. But let's go a little further west and a little further closer to our shores, but still on the other side of the Atlantic. And you're going to see that in Spain, the prospects of a right-wing government becoming a reality next month are highly likely. Conservative Populist Party to win snap election in Madrid region. Poll shows Spain's main opposition Popular Party is poised to win May 4th snap election in the key Madrid region, probably returning conservative Isabel Díaz Ayuso to power there in a blow to the leftist central government, an opinion poll showed on Tuesday. And this is Reuters saying this, by the way. Ayuso has clashed with the government on issues from social policies to the COVID-19 pandemic response, notably keeping bars and shops open to support Madrid's services-heavy economy, while other regions have shut non-essential activities. Remember, we don't want the cure to be worse than the disease itself. And, talk about medical information that they do not want you to hear. Stay tuned. We'll get to that in a moment. The vote in the region around the capital, Spain's wealthiest, is seen as a midterm test for the country's fragmented political class. The survey by Metroscopia pollsters showed Ayuso's populist party winning 59 seats in the 136-seat regional assembly, up from 30 in the 2019 election, which means she would still need the support of the far-right party Vox to secure a majority. That is an incredible, that is an absolutely incredible trend, going from 30 seats to just 2 years later to 59 seats. And as a result, to govern as a majority, and that's how parliament, a parliamentary system works, and we've talked about that in the past many times with Israel, and that is that, you know, typically here in the U.S., you've got the Republicans and Democrats, one or the other wins. There you have multiple parties, and so parties actually have to, even though a party might win the most seats, they don't win a majority of the seats, so they have to partner with other parties in order to be able to form a governing majority and a governing majority coalition, and that is what is happening here with the Populist Party and the Vox Party is looking like is going to happen, especially if Reuters is admitting this. Ayuso, whom opponents label a populist in the mold of former U.S. President Donald Trump. Yes, please, please. Oh, did you see that video of DeSantis giving a speech and all of his hand mannerisms were identical? absolutely identical to Trump. It was hilarious. It was awesome. And I absolutely love it. And yes, please go DeSantis. Go. I did not understand that poll, though, that came out where they pulled everybody excluding they pulled all the major contenders excluding Donald Trump. And Mike Pence was at the Mike Pence was beating DeSantis. That makes zero sense to me. I question that poll because DeSantis is extremely popular amongst conservatives, and a lot of us are very disaffected with Mike Pence certifying a fraudulent election. So, oh, wait, am I allowed to say that? Ayuso, whom opponents label a populist in the mold of former U.S. President Donald Trump, has not ruled out a pact with Vox, which would get 13 seats, according to the poll, which was carried out on April 20th to 26th. Center-right Cuidadanos, which ruled in a coalition with the populist party until Ayuso called the snap election in March, is likely to lose all its seats in the assembly. Wow. The Spanish Socialist Workers Party of Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez will see its seats halved, the poll suggests, and the broader left, including the two far-left parties, Más Madrid and Unidas Podemos, will secure just 64 seats. So whereas the right-wing party is going to double its seats, the left-wing Socialist Workers Party is going to see its seats cut in half, according to this polling. That is incredible. That is, and look, it's not all bad news that I try to remind you guys about as often as I can, as often as I can find good news. And I try to bring you guys good news that's real good news, not just something to make us feel better, but something that we can look at and go, wow, maybe we're not at the end of the end of the end. Maybe national populism is on the rise, and we are going, and the 21st century, as opposed to being marked by global totalitarianism, could be marked as a period of freedom and a return to the values that made many of our countries the envy of the earth, which is why millions and millions and millions and millions of people want to immigrate to the West. And it's probably not because we're so racist, bigoted, sexist, and every kind of phobia. And of course, if we were, why are we begging them to come here? But that's another whole conversation. Quote, voters who are angry at the left-wing government understand the election as an opportunity to punish Pedro Sanchez through Ayuso. Metroscopia director Andres Medina said in a report released on Tuesday, tensions between right and left have spiked in Madrid, where Ayuso is running with the slogan, communism or freedom. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what it is, communism or freedom. Escalating in recent days after Podemos leader Pablo Iglesias and several government officials received death threats by mail. Well, that's not good. Iglesias and Podemos have adopted the slogan, democracy or fascism, after Vox questioned the authenticity of the letter. So, you know, plenty of mudslinging going on back and forth. But remember, the way that the left operates, typically the terms that are used by the right are really mean what they say that they mean. But the left will use the term, and the proof of this is how many times did we hear Elizabeth Warren say, Donald Trump is a threat to our democracy. He's a threat to democracy. The whole left says Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. The Washington Post changed their slogan to democracy dies in darkness. Trump won an election. And so therefore, Trump is a threat to democracy? No, he merely ran in a democracy or in a constitutional republic whose electives whose representatives are elected democratically. He ran in that system and won freely and fairly. So he's a threat to our democracy. So we know what democracy means to the left. What democracy means to the left is, in a sense, our rule. Our rule. The threat to democracy is a threat to our rule, not the people's rule. So we have to be very careful when they throw this term democracy around. They don't actually believe it. What they actually believe is in communism, which is one-party rule. So guys, great trends. Even though there's bad news, we're like in France, we're seeing the jihadist attacks. I've got to move on. There is some good news out there. Pray for Europe. Pray for the Muslims in Europe. Pray we as Christians. We have no hatred or angst towards any group of people. Jesus said to even love our enemies. But also at the same time, when Paul was before the Areopagus in Acts 17, it says that Paul says that God created the borders of the nations if perhaps they might seek him, though he is not far from any one of us. The nation state is God's idea. It needs to be respected. The global totalitarianism is not. There's only one man that is allowed to be global dictator, and that, of course, is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and may he return very, very soon. And again, I don't know what to make of that experience that happened to me on August 31st, 2018. I don't know. So we'll see. Maybe I'll see more and more as time goes on, and I'll be happy to share that with you guys. I've never had an experience like that before, never had an experience like that since. It's a bizarre thing. But as we follow Christ and as we live in the Spirit and as we seek God, he does, and we walk in our callings, then he is going to give us, I believe, supernatural revelation in relation to our calling. So God has called me personally, I believe God has called me personally into the geopolitical realm. And so this isn't the only thing. There's other stuff, even stuff that I haven't mentioned, that I believe that God has spoken to me about in this realm. And it's because I'm walking in that calling. And don't be discouraged. Like, God can do the same thing for you. Whatever your calling is, if you're walking into that calling and you're walking by his Spirit, then you can also trust that he's going to give revelation to you as well at various times when needed. And it's usually really, really random. All right, so let's talk about some more good news. It's World News Brief, Good News Edition, ladies and gentlemen. I love good news. That's what the gospel means. Good news. The best world news we ever had was, of course, the gospel, which means good news. But I'm not talking about the gospel specifically right now. I'm talking about the question, as mentioned in the teaser intro, are two Democrat senators going to be the roadblocks, the stop gaps to one-party rule, a.k.a. communism, here in America? This is from CNSNews.com. Senator Joe Manchin, I'm not a roadblock at all. Yeah, you are, buddy. And we're very, very glad that you are. Quote, I'm not a roadblock at all, Senator Joe Manchin told CNN State of the Union on Sunday. The West Virginia Democrat was defending his defense of the Senate filibuster, the 60-vote threshold needed to pass most legislation. Both Manchin and Senator Kyrsten Sinema have said they will not vote to abolish the longstanding Senate rule that, so far, is preventing Senate Democrats from ramming through their big government agenda without a single Republican vote. So it's not just Manchin. It's also Sinema. And look, they've got to be careful if they want to be reelected because they are from conservative states. To the life of me, I don't understand how such a deep red state has a Democrat senator. I pray with me that he flips Republican. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? And I have no reason to think that he's going to. It would be like praying for a literal, as Jesus mentioned, praying for a literal mountain to be picked up and tossed into the sea. However, why not? Why not pray crazy prayers? You are given, I hereby give you permission, as if you need it from me, to pray crazy prayers. Why not? Dude, God spoke and he created like hundreds of billions of galaxies. Come on. I mean, read Psalm 2. He who sits in the heavens laughs at these lunatics that are in charge of these nations and these global organizations. He laughs at them. They're nothing to him. So pray crazy prayers. You're hereby given permission from King Podcaster of World News Brief. Quote, "The best politics is good government," Manchin said. I'm not going to be part of blowing up this Senate of ours, or basically this democracy of ours, or the republic that we have. Democrats never use the word republic. He used the word republic. All they say is democracy, democracy, democracy. From what I've personally heard, he uses the word republic. And what that goes to show is it looks like he does not see us merely as a pure democracy, which is a good thing. The founders loathed pure democracy, but it was simply they saw it as the 51% enacting tyranny over the 49%, which is why you had to have a constitutional framework that guaranteed certain rights. Quote, "If we have a 51 vote threshold in the Senate, the same as the House wasn't designed to be partisan. The House was designed to be hot as a firecracker." So he's talking about the difference between the House and the Senate. The House is designed to be rancorous fire. Man, if you see any video of British Parliament, it is wild, man. They are going after each other. By the way, great movie, The Darkest Hour, about Winston Churchill. Absolutely fabulous and absolutely fabulous performance. But that'll give you a good idea of the way the British House works. So our house is actually pretty tame compared to other parliaments around the world. But he's right. The house was designed to be partisan, rancorous, debate. I mean, just throw down, right? You throw it down and you fight for your constituents and your cause. Quote, "We were designed to cool it off." Uh-oh, he's about to mention something that Democrats are not supposed to mention in a positive light. Quote, "And that's the founding fathers. It was a brilliant, brilliant strategy they looked at." So he said, "We were designed to cool it off, and that's the founding fathers. It was a brilliant, brilliant strategy they looked at. So why can't we try to make this work? If you have the violent swings every time you have a party change, then we will have no consistency whatsoever." Praise God. That's all I can say. And the reason why this is so critical that we maintain the filibuster, because it is what is keeping the most radical legislation in the history of our country, such as H.R. 1, as we've talked about before on the show, that would essentially ensconce into law all of the fraudulent voting practices of 2020 and before, and make all of those the norm. With H.R. 1, Texas cannot ask to CID. It is absolutely insane. It has nothing to do with race and everything to do with fraud. And the bigots are the people that don't think blacks and Hispanics are smart enough to take a walk or a train ride down to the DMV. There's the soft bigotry of low expectations, but I was talking with a friend who is actually going to be on the show next week, an amazing young lady who is, I think she is going to be just a leader, a Gen Z leader. You will not want to miss next week's interview. She's absolutely fantastic. I'm not going to give it away though, but stay tuned. I'm really excited to have her on, and we're going to learn all about Gen Z, because none of you know about Gen Z. Okay, let's just be honest. None of us know anything about Gen Z. And I didn't until I heard her speak at a conference, and I was rather enlightened. And we're gonna have her on to talk about all of that. But she shared a quote from, I believe it was Ben Shapiro, who had changed it from the soft bigotry of low expectations to the hard bigotry of no expectations. And it's simply insane. Democrats going out there and saying that blacks and Hispanics can't get IDs, and they're saying to them, "But I have an ID." What are you talking about? It's sick, evil propaganda designed to undermine our democracy. A real threat to democracy. If you do not have free and fair elections, you do not have a constitutional republic whose representatives are actually elected by their constituents and not whoever the left-wing radical activists want in power. But and I did see some polling recently. You know, I'm talking about Europe, but even here in the U.S., 2022 is looking really good for the Republicans taking over. So we will see what happens there. I'm out of the political prediction business. That ship sailed for me. It's very difficult to predict politics these days. But this is really important, what Manchin and Sinema are doing. Pray for them that they stand strong. They even tried to bribe Manchin with giving his wife a cushy position in the Biden administration, and it didn't work. I think if he was going to fold, he would have folded by now. He has stood incredibly strong under immense opposition. Now, again, he could fold in the future. I don't know. But honestly, I expected he would have folded by now. But it looks like Manchin might want to get reelected. It was very disappointing that he voted to convict Trump the first time, and he was in favor, and he blamed the Capitol riots on Trump and so forth the second time. But they're standing strong on this, and pray for Manchin and Sinema that they continue to do so. All right, I've got to get to some COVID news. This is world news, but I want to bring you guys. Bring attention to very important science. Listen to last week's broadcast where the study from Stanford University came out essentially admitting and saying that COVID is about 1,000 times smaller, and we've known this for a long time, 1,000 times smaller than the holes in most of the masks we wear, and COVID can easily go through our masks, which is why it's idiotic to say, oh, well, we'll throw in a just put on a second mask or put on a third mask, and that'll protect you more from COVID. You know, it just makes sense. No, that's ludicrous. But what about the infection fatality rate? And this is from off-guardian.org, which is a great site. I recommend it, and I link to it often. COVID's infection fatality rate just keeps dropping. New study says the infection fatality ratio of the, quote, deadly virus has fallen from 3.4% to 0.15%. That's plummeting 95% in less than a year. Remember, this whole thing happened because the World Health Organization came out and said we're looking at about a 3.4% like death rate of this virus. Infection fatality ratio, which turned out to be based off of a fraudulent study, fraudulent numbers, and was the basis of shutting the world down. Well, now we're finding that we're looking at an IFR of 0.15%. That is, once again, pretty much the same as a normal flu season. The new paper is the work of Dr. John Ioannidis, whom you likely remember. He's an eminent epidemiologist and statistician who publicly urged the need for, quote, good data last spring. Do you remember last spring? The blissful days of never having even heard of infection fatality ratio. I do, fondly. The phrase really rose to prominence last year after the World Health Organization announced that IFR of the scary new virus was 3.4%. You still trust those global health scientific bodies? I don't. This is not in and of itself especially high, but it is significantly higher than most cold flu viruses. And I think their point is there, even if that was actually true, that doesn't mean we necessarily shut the world down. And really, for even lockdowns to work, with which the WHO themselves even said was a last resort, for the lockdowns to work, you literally have to have everybody inside all the time, threat of gunpoint. Because if you have a lockdown, then everybody can go to the grocery store and go to the liquor store, or, you know, other, quote, essential services. Well, the lockdown essentially becomes moot. I can go into Walmart with 300 people, but I can't go to my little office with 5 employees. I can't go to a hair salon with a few employees. And that hair salon, given how they clean those places, are going to be more sanitary than Walmart. Okay, I know we're revisiting all of the insanity of 2020 on this episode, but I can't help but just reminisce on how ludicrous this whole thing was. And I remember back in April, I was saying, we're way overdoing this. We are going to an extreme that does not make any sense and that we needed a more nuanced approach to this. And the data coming out is seeming to back that up. Around the same time, somebody, or multiple somebodies, actually edited the Wikipedia page of the Spanish flu to change the infection fatality ratio and make it seem like COVID was just as dangerous. Who did this remains a mystery, although why has become fairly obvious. All right, because they have an agenda. The Great Reset. That's the agenda. And this, as Klaus Schwab, as Prince Charles, and as the other globalist goons who want to control our lives have admitted on the Great Reset podcast that I was listening to just earlier this week, back from June, they said, and we're going to be doing some specials like a Great Reset 101 course here on World News Brief. So stay tuned. We've all got to understand. If you really want to understand what's going on in the world, you got to understand the Great Reset. So stay tuned. But they admit, they were like, this is it. This is our chance. Again, this was back in June of last year. This is it. This is our chance for essentially to implement everything that we want. They don't come out and say this, but it's essentially to whatever policy, whatever agenda, climate agenda that they have, which of course is linked to world government in their minds. This is our chance. COVID is our chance. It is our opportunity. And given the fact that they did a pandemic simulation, the WHO and Gates and all of them did a pandemic simulation about 6 weeks before COVID hit, you can move out of conspiracy theory. It's not far-fetched. It's not far-fetched. At the time, many experts, such as those listed in our 12 Experts article, predicted the actual IFR of COVID would be much, much lower than the WHO's estimate, and that this would become clear as new data were gathered. Dr. John Ioannidis was one of the most vocal on this point. He was featured on our list and was also the first interview in the Perspectives on the Pandemic series. All the way along, he has urged the need for cool heads and good data. His first study, last April, found the real IFR of COVID was 0.27%. Then he did another in October that found it maybe even lower at 0.2%. And now, this most recent study found 0.15%, right in line with seasonal influenza, which has conveniently enough dropped off the face of the planet, which is bizarre. And it is not because of masks and social distancing. I'm sorry. That's a reduction of 95% of the WHO's estimate in less than a year. It's also right along the same lines as the WHO's accidental admission made last October that around 10% of the world had likely been exposed to the virus, rendering an IFR of roughly 0.14%. So even with the WHO's numbers, their IFR, if you crunch the numbers, goes down to 0.14%. And remember to bear in mind the ridiculously way national governments collate their so-called COVID deaths. Even with the official death statistics being substantial overestimates, the IFR is still low, very low. And of course, they're referring to the fact that do you even trust those numbers in the first place? I do not. And there's good reason. And it's because officials have come out and said, like, when they come out and say we count everything as a COVID death, even if COVID wasn't the main cause of death, then you go, okay, maybe I shouldn't trust whatever numbers are being pumped through that John Hopkins database. Oh, and by the way, speaking of John Hopkins, if you have not seen the Ben Carson story, Gifted Hands, the Ben Carson story, it's on Pureflix right now. It is outstanding. I've seen that movie for years. I'm like, ah, maybe I'll watch it one day. Watched it the other day. Oh my gosh, highly, highly recommend. But I also wanted to hit another piece of COVID news that I saw on the Gateway Pundit. Look, guys, if you've been listening to this broadcast for a long time, you know that I love Trump. And I hope he's president again in 2024. But this whole issue of the vaccine, it takes years to develop vaccines. And we're going to do one in a few months. And we're not going to expect there to be any consequences. And again, these vaccines are not FDA approved. They are approved under emergency use authorization. We have no idea the long-term effects. You are the longitudinal study. You are the long-term study on these, quote, vaccines. But this is from the Gateway Pundit. Pfizer and Moderna COVID, quote, vaccines could trigger Alzheimer's, ALS, and other neurological degenerative diseases. Okay. Jim Hoft, April 25th, everyone from Joe Biden to Red Pope Francis is pushing for 100% acceptance. Oh, good old Red Pope Francis, who actually has, you almost don't even want to say it, but it's a depiction. There's a painting in his office, a depiction of a naked, called Jesus, it's not Jesus, but a naked caricature of Jesus caressing the hair of a dead Judas Iscariot. Catholic groups are reeling over this, as you can imagine. It is absolutely blasphemous and insane, not to mention unscriptural, not to mention anti-scriptural, the idea that Jesus would be in public completely naked, doing that to the man of whom he said it would be better that he had never been born, is absolutely, absolutely insane. You can fact check me on that. I'm telling you, it's up at cgm.news. You can look at it for yourself. You can look at the painting for yourself. Fortunately, they covered up the part you would want covered up. But anyway, as another piece of interesting world news there, everyone from Joe Biden to Red Pope Francis is pushing for 100% acceptance of the mRNA vaccine for COVID. The vaccine is unproven and untested. No one knows if the vaccine is more dangerous than the disease. And then he cites something here that I'm not sure that I really need to fact check this, because I kind of looked into it some and I didn't see the hard data behind it. But if you guys can get the hard data, please email it to me, world@cgmradio.com. Over 50% of new COVID cases involve people who have already been vaccinated, as reported on the Gateway Pundit earlier, according to a Yale epidemiologist. So there is a video of a Yale epidemiologist saying that. I just didn't see any links to the data that backs that up. But over 50% of new COVID cases involve people who have already been vaccinated. If that is true, that is astounding. But it would also go with statements even made by Dr. Fauci and others that it doesn't actually stop you from getting coronavirus. It merely masks the symptoms. Well, if that's true and you're in a high-risk age group, then really the COVID, quote, vaccine wouldn't be of much help to you. Because it's not the symptoms necessarily that kill you. It's the virus itself. Now, a startling new report in Microbiology and Infectious Disease finds the mRNA. This is science. Believe the science. Believe the science. Believe the science. We only talk about science on here. If I bring up COVID stuff, there's studies, there's science, there's data to back it up. They say believe the science. Well, here you go. Here's some science. Finds that mRNA vaccines could trigger Alzheimer's disease, ALS, and other neurological and cognitive degenerative diseases. This is from the report by J. Bart Klassen, MD. He's believe the doctors. Look, America's frontline doctors said back in October that COVID was 1,000 times smaller than the mask. They said it back in October. Now we've got Stanford University, like we talked about last week, coming out with that data as well. And of course, they were censored by all the big tech giants. Their own web hosting company knocked them off from being online. It's criminal. Absolutely. These are doctors. These are MDs, board certified, whatever. But they don't get a voice because there's a narrative. And we must bow down before King Fauci, Emperor Fauci, his greatness, his holiness. It's sick and disgusting. And when I go into stores and I see fewer and fewer people without masks, it brings great joy to my heart. From the paper, quote, development of new vaccine technology has been plagued with problems in the past. The current RNA-based SARS-CoV-2 vaccines were approved in the U.S. during an emergency order without extensive long-term safety testing. That's from the scientific paper. That's not from me. Dr. Klassen and his associates found that the vaccine increases the likelihood of these hideous diseases, ALS, Alzheimer's, and other neurological and cognitive degenerative diseases, by opening a pathway into human DNA, which is exactly what these gene therapy drug is intended to do. And I'm not going to go. There's a lot more you can read about it up at cgm.news, but there's a lot in there. This is really, really, really concerning. And again, I am not and cannot tell you what to do on this broadcast. Just do your research. If you're thinking about or if you have to get the COVID shot, I don't even like to call it a vaccine, the COVID shot or the COVID injection, the COVID prick, just do your research. Do your research really, really well. And so I think I'm going to end off. So it looks like Russia's pulling back from Ukraine. It looks like China Taiwan's been able to kind of hedge China a bit, even though that's always a consistent, persistent threat. Afghanistan, it's moving along. The withdrawal's moving along. Apparently, the U.S. is kind of buffing up security for a more peaceful withdrawal, and I hope they do, and I want them to do, and I think that's a good decision to do, of course. So I do try to look to areas of agreement with the Biden regime, but this idea that the regime is going to support and give tens of millions of dollars to UNRWA, to UNRWA, the United Nations Relief Workers Agency, is absolutely insane. And the GOP is getting involved. There's a reason why the Trump administration pulled funding from UNRWA when they provide textbooks to Palestinian children that glorify violence against Jews. When UNRWA schools have Hamas weapons hidden in their basements or hidden underground beneath the schools, and just a history and this belief in this right of return that, you know, all of these Palestinians and other countries deserve to come back into Israel proper because of something that happened in 1948 to 49, Arabs that were displaced during that, is ludicrous. And the corruption of UNRWA is well documented and well known. So it looks like the GOP is fighting back. This is from Breitbart. GOP rebuffs Biden move to resume funding for jihad, anti-Semitism-linked UN Palestinian, quote, refugee agency. 21 Republican senators, led by Senator Jim Risch. How come not every single Republican senator? Some of this stuff is easy. This is easy. Recently came out against the Biden administration's move to resume funding, suspended by its predecessor, Trump, for a controversial UN agency for so-called Palestinian refugees, asserting that the group is plagued by accusations of anti-Israel bias and affiliated with the U.S.-designated terror group Hamas. In a letter to Secretary of State Antony Blinken, the GOP lawmakers expressed, quote, grave concern about the Biden administration's decision to recommit U.S. taxpayer money for the UNRWA. Even President asterisk Joe Biden's State Department has recently admitted that the UN agency for so-called Palestinians faces allegations of, quote, racism, discrimination, and anti-Semitism. But you've got to understand, people. See, according to the left, they say that all racism is not bad. They say racism is bad. But we all know that there is approved racism, approved discrimination, approved segregation. If there are college dorm rooms that are for, quote, black and, quote, brown people only, to keep them away from whites because they're so offended and so triggered by someone with a good amount of less melanin in their skin, well, that's okay. That's okay. Discrimination against, quote, whites in college admission processes where they're going to give someone a scholarship over someone with lighter skin simply because of the skin color, that's okay. That's approved racism. If you're going to say white cracker, you're going to say honk or whatever, that's approved. So you got to understand, the left has always and will always believe in discrimination, even based off of skin color. There's just approved and unapproved discrimination. The American senators pointed out the agency defines, quote, refugees differently than the rest of the world, adding that the group assists Palestinians who already have citizenship in the countries they reside and are no longer displaced. Yeah, if you're a citizen of the country you live in, I'm sorry, you no longer should have refugee status. And we know ultimately what this is all about. It's about Hamas. It's about the Palestinian Authority, which the Palestinian Authority, Hamas, they're actually having elections soon. So we'll see how that goes. We'll be monitoring that. But it's about them taking over the Jewish state and making the Jews a permanent minority in their own homeland. And the big problem with that is, of course, the Jews need their own state in order to avoid another Holocaust. You look at the 48-49 war. You look at the 1967 war, the Yom Kippur war, that especially in 67 and 40, we had all of these nations coming up against Israel. Like, they need their own homeland where they can protect themselves. Every other ethnic group can have that, but it's racist for the Jews to have that. And Jewishness isn't just ethnicity. There are also those who are Jews by converting to it as well, or it's just Jews. I was born that way. So this whole idea of this racist apartheid state, I think, is ludicrous. Other than, and it's not just happened in Israel, but other places around the world where you can't engage in basic civil activity without the COVID injection. That's the new apartheid, ladies and gentlemen. The new apartheid is the COVID. You're not going to go to Israel and see, oh, you know, water fountains only. Jews can drink from these water fountains and only Palestinians can drink from these water fountains. You're not going to see that kind of apartheid in Israel, but we are beginning to see, and we are seeing the requirement for a COVID injection there in order to get, in order to participate in basic society. So, and that, of course, is troubling. So the GOP is fighting back on that as they should. It's about $150 million. A year that they're putting towards it. At least it's not billions, but still, it's more than them. I think we probably print $150 million a second. So it's not going to be the thing that tips us over into complete and total financial ruin. But when you are actively supporting, when we are given a dime to groups that promote anti-Semitism, that promote terror, that and we see this even with the Palestinian Authority. Look, Abbas, he's still president of the PLO, the Terrorist Palestinian Liberation Organization. These people are terrorists. These people are absolute terrorists. They give stipends. They give pensions to people who kill and murder Jews for the rest of their lives. Their family gets that money. And these are the people that we in the United States of America, we have got to make a stand on basic human rights and say, no, we are not going to assist terrorists, whether it's the terrorists in Tehran or whether it's the terrorists in the Judea, Samaria, and in Gaza. We're not going to give them a dime. And that's why nuclear talks are also continuing to go. We'll be monitoring that. We'll definitely hit that on future weeks. Stay up to date at cgm.news. We'll be sharing relevant news there, and I hope you guys see CGM.news as a bit of an aggregator of news aggregators. We can't share all of the news that is out there, but our heart is to share the most important news out there. And honestly, the kind of stuff we put up there is stuff you're not going to see on other even conservative news aggregators as well. So you'll definitely want to stay focused on that. I got to roll. I'm about 5 minutes over. Thank you guys for joining us on this week's edition of World News Brief. Make sure to subscribe if you have not already. Go to cgmradio.com/world or just look up World News Brief CGM in your favorite podcasting app and leave us, please, a 5-star review. That will help us out a whole lot. And email me, world@cgmradio.com with questions, comments, or pretty much anything else. God bless you guys. There's so much good news. Of course, the best news of all time is the good news of Jesus Christ, by the way, which you can read about at cgmradio.com or cgm.news. Go there and just click on Great News in the toolbar at the top of the page, in the middle of the page, and read all about it. Extra, extra. God bless you guys, and may His kingdom come, and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven.